Hear ye, hear ye. We are meeting 2 weeks, but 10 a.m. to noon.
There's a note of time going around, so if you sign it, then we'll give it to Mary. She's going to go see her. She's had a hip replacement. Is that right, Mary?
Well, she's had another one. Yeah, she's had several.
But that's what she's recuperating.
Well, yeah.
Today's the 30th, isn't it?
Today and next time, Mary.
Yeah, two. Okay, thanks.
Well, oh, yeah, we were talking about circulation of the light. We're going to, yeah.
Quick question before you go on. I think you explained this when I was writing furiously, but I didn't hear you. In the middle of this paragraph on 108,
okay.
When intellect dominates, then what you have is primarily a feeling
right.
centeredness?
Right.
Meaning not really feeling?
No, I think what he means is, that was confusing. When the intellect dominates, then in the anima, what you have is primarily a feeling centeredness, because her content would be the opposite of what you are.
Thank you. That makes it make sense.
So how does that differ from this other feeling that sensing you're supposed to get with the dark anime? How does that differ?
The only difference is the dark anime is more about sex and difficult bodily based emotions.
So would it be more powerful?
If for him it would be, because he's identified with his intellect. But I mean, it's probably a cliche.
I'm talking about the feeling, the effect on the psychic, I guess. Maybe you can make that.
Yeah, judgment. It would be more powerful because he is so cut off from it. But if you take an Italian, it's kind of a cliche, but you take some Sicilian, their anima probably isn't going to be feeling, because they're all feeling. Their anima might be more thinking.
I was thinking in terms of surrender, it feels like more of a surrendering. Is that it would feel like surrendering?
It always feels like a surrendering.
I
think he's talking about the power of it.
Yeah, I was also kind of getting at your point too. What would be the difference of the effect on me if I had one effect versus another effect? But it depends on who I am, I guess.
Yeah, and the bottom line is it would discombobulate you, whatever it is. Hmm. But most of us, you know, if you've held down a job in America, your thinking has to be working. Your sensation has to be working. So for most of us, regardless of heritage or upbringing, feeling is probably in our feminine. Because our lifestyle is so divorced from it.
A lot of these, like yoga, I hear people, I've never done it, but I hear people talking about centeredness and meditation and being centered.
Yeah.
That fits in with the lighter anima, I guess.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I never done.
That brings me into my body. That centers me into this very material place. There's no area and stuff.
But there's probably different levels of that yoga too. And not that I've ever done it. In terms of work.
Now, if you're dealing with your body, if you're centered, you're in it. You're not up here flying around in your head. That's
okay.
My sense.
Yes, thank you. Let's see. Probably should make this dance his own. That's what we're coming to, bottom of 108.
That's kind of what they say about Jung stuff. You know, Jung is all in your head. It's all in your head. Well, if you're studying Jung, it's not all in your head.
I told you the nicest compliment anyone ever gave me. The young guy worked with a real hotshot PhD psychologist from Bloomington. It's long ago. He's left. But I liked him, but he was really cocky. And one day he said, "You know why I like coming here?" I said, "No, why?" He said, "Because when I leave, the back of my shirt is wet." That's what it's like if it's done right.
Now, you don't see that in yoga.
You'd be surprised where you can go in yoga.
Really? You do that? Also, I'm really trying to find out. You do get tense. I mean, is that tension? Because of that sweating?
Yeah, well, exertion.
Huh?
What? I don't think you can talk about it. I mean, yoga, you got to do. It's all about the breath. And so you got to focus on it. You can't talk about it.
And often there aren't women here, right?
But it can be sweaty.
Okay. There is a form of yoga that they're all about.
Oh, yeah. You really get into it, yeah. Mm-hmm. What is that fiery? Mary did that. At one of our Mary Jane.
Oh, that's definitely that's pretty. That's really hard. And it's all about breathing really fast. It's the same with singing. I mean, you get really hot. It's bringing you really hotter.
Well, all of this was to prepare us for the idea, and we've been kind of tiptoeing around it for Pali's sake, that he has to begin to do what the anima is doing, which is allow this rhythm in his life between the sacred and the secular, and between good and bad, and that circulation around all parts of his personality. And he's not doing it, and why is he fascinated with von Franz? Because that's what she represents to him.
In The Circulation of the Light, is that the book where the diamond body is the final?
Sometimes it's a diamond body, and sometimes it's the golden flower. Is that book?
Well, in the golden flower, it isn't the diamond body in the golden flower. Am I mistaken?
I forget exactly, but they're more or less synonymous. Is the book? Do I have the book?
I gave it back.
Oh, yeah. So everybody saw it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, diamond body, golden flower, the elixir, they're all different words for the same thing.
Okay.
And what's the thing again?
What's that?
What the diamond body is words for the same
thing. Oh, self or the fulfillment of the task or the acceptance of fate or... I think you can describe it in several different ways. Achieving your value in life.
How do you know?
Well, somebody asked Jung that, and he had an interesting answer. He said, you know when you are walking along a path in life because you know a decision has been made over your head. And that's what he says in so many words in the next quote. Now, Jung is just expanding the description of this circulation of the light. It means marking off of the sacred precinct, and on the other hand, fixation and concentration.
That's on page one.
Page 108, bottom.
Bottom here.
Yeah. So, marking off the sacred precinct in that first picture, what he's doing is describing those pictures, is the guy... concentrating inwardly. And in our language, that just means accepting that your personality is the thing that you have to begin to attend to. And accepting that. And fixation and concentration, surrendering to yourself that you're going to really pay attention to what's going on inside yourself.
It's kind of confusing where they talk about the circulation as the movement of ego consciousness. And then they go right into the Tao taking the lead, as though it is the thing that's making the movement.
Well, but that's what happens. Yeah.
So it's the progression where the ego consciousness follows.
It's sort of
out.
Like it. The ego consciousness is sort of like pulling the cord of the lawnmower, and then the thing gets running on its own, and that's the Tao. And so the light then, you see, shifts from being the light of the ego to the light of the self. So at first you begin concentrating, and then that concentration is a light, but then you begin to see something, and what you see pulls you forward. So the light becomes from what you have seen. Namely, the meaning of your dreams. But there is, you don't always notice it at the moment, but there is a sacrifice going on, that you have given up your decisions for the decisions that have come to you through the dream work. And that's the Tao. That's the diamond. So in Pali's case, he began concentrating on himself, and the only thing I'm adding now is this thing that pulls your interest, it can be a dream, or it can be a synchronistic event. And the synchronistic event for him was von Franz. So she is now what is pulling him towards his new professorship. And had he completed his new professorship, begun talking about what he was to talk about, that would have been Tao for him. Just another, I think we pretty much expressed what's on the top of 109. Well, let me go on with that. The Tao begins to work and take the lead, top of 109. Action is reversed into non-action. Everything peripheral is subordinated to the command of the center. Therefore, it is said movement is only another name for mastery. Does that make sense?
No.
Oh, okay. So try to express it in Pali's case. His feeling problem. And his need to be the new professor, right? Does that make sense? Those two issues. Two main issues we've been talking about. To circulate the light, to mark off the precinct, would be to begin owning up to his feeling problem and working on it. To begin owning up to the need to teach this material and to then begin teaching it. So when he insults, say, Yafe and he leaves, that is not marking off the sacred precinct. Marking off the sacred precinct would be to go home and say, oh, damn it, I've done it again. Let's understand why I did that. Let's understand the dreams that come out of this. I'll apologize to her. See, that's the inner circulating of the light. And that is why von Franz was in his life, to get him to do that. And as he did that, both with other situations and with her, that relationship begins to be more fascinating. That is that something else takes the lead. Tao, his path, is both to become a good friend to her and to do his lectureship. That would be when his willful choice of, I am not going to lecture on this material, I will insult people when I feel like it and not worry about it, that is reversed into non-action. That would be... The alternative would be to say, okay, I will lecture on the new professor themes. I will apologize when I hurt somebody's feelings.
But when it says movement is only another name for mastery, it's not, it's movement in the sense you're just talking about,
right,
of beginning to deal with that.
Right. The movement.
It's not mastery, but it's not your own mastery.
Right.
A cooperation.
Yeah, and it's really life. Being mastered by the self.
Right, that's what was confusing
right.
me. It sounded like a power train.
It's, they're speaking on several different levels at the same time and not telling you when they're changing levels. Mm-hmm. And I think, Eileen?
Well, I just,
it's like it's all flowing. It makes sense, except when it says when it goes action is reversed into non-action. It sounds like it has to go into non-action. That's not what you're saying.
Well, again, the action of the ego turns into non-action.
Oh, okay.
And the ego is the side that says, I don't want to worry about the way I affect other people. I don't want to worry about what I'm supposed to talk about. So it's that attitude that becomes non-active, and it's replaced by another action, which is what the self is asking. Mm-hmm. What Jung is trying to do is simply, as he does with Christianity, interpret the East as a metaphor. Now, I'm sure a Buddhist would say something quite different to the meaning of those things. But Jung is saying, I'm taking these all as metaphor. But the Tao is the key concept there. And how, you know, we're just giving other, using other words to discuss the kind of thing we've discussed many times of the self taking the lead. And the ego taking second place, and how strong emotions are part of that. And that then, as you can imagine, see, that loosens up a rigid personality. Because he is being guided, he is not controlling. This is how you soften. Jung's answer to how you soften.
So the emotions would be the movement within.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're so strong, they start overpowering your own rigidity. And you will literally dream of dissolving. Things being dissolved at this point. Another way to say that, third line in the paragraph after the quote on 109, the principle of Eros whereby he lets his fantasies and dreams run free. See, run free is for him the dirty word. It's very scary.
When you say the Tao, you basically, in simple terms, you say it for one more
well,
time. What does that mean here?
The Chinese character, I think, describes it very well. The Chinese character for Tao is a head over a road. And it would mean...
You mean that simple?
Uh-huh.
That's what that means?
That's what the drawing of Tao is in China.
Dark. And the light.
No, it's a head over a road.
Oh.
Tao is the path that you live in life, which is the right path.
Oh, I've been using that concept all the time without knowing it was a Tao.
And so for Pali, the Tao would be to lecture from his chair of physics about the issues we're talking. The Tao would be to accept the relationship with Juan Franz and to cultivate it. The Tao would be to own up to his feeling difficulties and take responsibility for the hurt he causes and the unkind things he says and deal with it. It is not Tao for him to still teach quantum physics in the old way.
And the dreams are a handle to let you know
yep.
where you are, the road.
Right. So, you see, on the road, we've seen just recently to think of two main images, occupy the station, pay for the meat, put energy into your physical desire for Von Franz. Mount the podium to talk on a theme connected with the Chinese woman. That's another image of his true work. You could, for Tao, you could almost substitute true work. And I think the Christian position would be following the will of God. They're very similar. I think the difference, and why does Jung go to Tao? Because the East is willing to accept that part of that path can be highly morally ambiguous. And you don't get that in Christianity.
Yeah, the Christmas work is saying when you fall, you sin. You're in sin.
Right. And the Tao is, it's both sin and non-sin. And Jung finds that much closer to what the unconscious asks of people. Okay. Is that okay? What that dream was about? Mounting the rostrum? Why a Chinese woman? Why the strangers?
And isn't that also just to follow up on that concept? There's been an announcement. I mean, the East look at it like, well, someone, let's say, commits murder, but then the effects of that could be good.
I think so. Yeah. So
they look at the effects of your action more than the action itself. If you stole $10,000, but the effects of it were that, you know, like Robin Hood, because they were poor. So they look at those things as more like they don't judge the action in and of itself, like you do with the Ten Commandments.
I'm not sure. I can tell you an example. I just try to keep examples in mind. I remember when I was in the Peace Corps. If a thief broke into your room, you were to cough, and they would leave. It would be bad karma to attack that thief. See what I mean? They didn't say thieving was good, but it somehow accepted into the fabric of life, and there's a way to deal with it besides pulling out a gun and shooting the guy. And if you probably did pull out a gun and shoot him, you would be the one haul off, because there's a way to deal with it. You would never attack a thief breaking into your home, at least in the traditional values. Maybe, you know, now that it's westernized, it's changed, but in the village I lived in. So it's that sense. I wouldn't go as far as to say they would say robbery is good. The other example I think I've told you where I heard, where I thought it struck me so much, was when on that show on the Bengali tiger. Did I tell you about that show? There was a show on PBS about the Bengali tiger. You heard this? Mm-hmm. And they interviewed, and I guess that Bengal, you know, what is it? That's eastern India, is the only, one of the few places the tiger is not endangered. The problem is it eats people now and then. And it had just eaten a farmer in one of the villages that the news crew was visiting. And they were interviewing this guy's neighbor working in the field. And they said to this guy, doesn't it bother you that that tiger ate your neighbor? And he said, no. And they said, why? And he said, because it's the nature of tigers to eat people. And they were not going on a campaign to kill the tiger. So it's not quite like crime is good, but the moral ambivalence is somehow, in a humane way, worked into the system. They're the two examples I give you, plus the example I told you of the police chief. But I think those other two are even better. So, in Pauli's case, you know, he felt having these feelings for von Franz was wrong. He had been through one divorce. He had visited brothels. I can imagine at this point he wasn't. I don't know for sure. But, in any case, it was a moral conflict. So, this is one more place where he felt he was being untrue, I think. But the Chinese, or this yin and yang way, would be to say, well, that's part of the program.
And do they agree with Jung and Jung thought that thoughts and feelings came to us, that we didn't really own them or create them? And so if you fall in love with someone, that really is not, you didn't create that. And
yeah. Oh, definitely.
So, I mean, in that way...
Yeah. That's what it boils down to practically here. That he has not created this fascination, but this fascination is from the self.
Sandy? Just that he, I guess it's easier for him, but it was a way out, that he didn't have to deal with conflict.
Yeah, right. And I think, I mean, I said it before, but it might bear repeating. The irony here is that for Christianity, the sacrifice is giving up desire to be moral. And for this, it's giving up morality to be natural. That is just as much a sacrifice for an individual with some sort of conscience. Of course, that can be misused greatly, but just to show you his, now I think, his true relationship to von Franz is in that last line before it says India. In a small card he enclosed in a letter with sincere thanks for much soul help. That's pretty deep. That's a guy admitting he's suffering. And I think that is genuine. Well, he's off to India. Okay, so far? And he dreams of going to Holland to take up a professorship. And what the author says is that just shows how little India really was part of his Tao, to go back to our early image. His job was to put all his energy into understanding what this professorship was about. I don't think it's saying don't go to India, but you know, the longer you do this work, I find there are things I just don't do anymore because they're not part of my not part of me. And that's what the unconscious is telling him. 110, this cosmic rhythm comes back. Now, that we can look at in several ways. I think the most fundamental meaning is this, what we've talked about, remember the oscillations in the clock? This sense that time has secular moments and synchronistic moments. And that scares the bejeebies out of him because these synchronistic moments are putting him in touch with a woman. Synchronistic or sacred. There are moments that are special and they come and go. And he's afraid of that because then he's not in control.
So do you think his trip to India is to get out of this situation?
I wouldn't. You can go too far on this stuff. Wouldn't say never take a vacation, but if I had that, if I were doing that, I would realize, okay, I'm going to enjoy this, but when I come back, I'm not going to spend a year writing a book on India. I'll get back to my new professorship. I think at some point, you know, when Jung went to India, he didn't get off the boat. I think he got on the land once, had a dream of working on alchemy, went back and sat in the boat and worked on alchemy the whole time. Obviously, Jung is much more committed, but somewhere between the two extremes, you know, you have to find your way.
I don't know if you're there yet, but would you explain when you get to it the sentence in the middle of Polly's quote, "As a Westerner, I do not believe in the direct concretization of these rhythmic images as processes in the physical world." I'm not quite sure what he's...
Well, it's not good news.
I thought that's what he's been talking about all along.
Exactly.
That's what he was looking at.
Exactly. Does it make sense?
I don't understand where that... It seems like it comes out of nowhere.
It does. It comes out of another complex.
Okay.
And he...
And it goes to his dad problems, too. I mean, he wants dad to stay unconscious in the matter. So even though he intellectually understands things in that city, he will not allow dad to be responsible.
See, that's
a good point.
That's what's so difficult about dealing with these people. They say one thing one minute and one thing the next.
Because later on, I think it's great what he says in that whole, you know, third thing is through new experience. And he gets it down there, but he's up here, he's just so blinded.
And that is absolutely typical.
Of him or everyone?
Of this personality type. Another way to say it, this is an unintegrated personality. Another way to say it is these are all the opposites that alchemy talks about. Another way to say it is those various figures that were ascending. Synchronicity is important. Thank you for the soul help is one figure. I don't take synchronicity seriously is another figure. You point up to him, there's a conflict, what happens? He blows up. That's the way these people work. And what we try to do is try to build a bridge between those various sides, if we can. And, you know, timing and tact is of the utmost importance here. When would you say to a guy, okay, you just said thank you for the soul help, and now you're saying that the thing she represents doesn't exist. Hello?
I think it's just kind of an insulator. Seems to me, oh, he knows what to write. It's like he's trying to control that connection with her through that, manipulating the language. That's what it feels like.
I think he is himself being manipulated by the unconscious.
Because his dream shows that there's a part of him that's ready to get the first one in his teeth already. So he does have these moments of tremendous insight, but then he won't...
But what do you notice in the podium dream? He doesn't
go
to the podium. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can see Kathleen's point.
Well,
sometimes people do use language as a world of power over others. They use it to manipulate others.
Yeah.
You've seen it in the past.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that is one personality component.
Yeah.
And in a way you could say he is using power over others. I think it'd be more accurate to say in a certain moment the unconscious seizes on him and moves him to act this way.
With true feeling?
No, with power.
Okay.
And then it seizes on him another moment and has him act with true feeling. He isn't a person, he is a collection of moods. And in one mood he acts one way, and in another mood he acts another way. And there is never, as Jung says, there's never a summing up.
And that's typical of a
thinking that's typical of a borderline personality.
But it's a reflection of his own. And who she is.
You could say that. I would maybe fine tune it a bit. In a personality like this, there are several animas, and each of those behavior systems is a different anima. I mean, multiply this times 5, 10, 100,000, and you've got schizophrenic.
I was saying that because of the moodiness. Mm-hmm. The mood shifting
all
the time.
Yeah, or multiple personality disorder, where you know, actually they become the different personality fragments.
Mm-hmm.
But he is pretty much the same person, but he has totally contradictory statements.
And is this because, I mean, he can't find a place where he can see all these...
Yes.
Totally unconscious of one when he's doing another.
Right. That's my feeling. In those moments, he believes what he's saying.
It's hard to understand. I mean...
Yes.
But you would lose consciousness. You know. I mean, I know where I've lied and not been, you know, where I've been this at one moment and that, uh-huh. And you see that, and you slowly during your, you know, you try to start bringing it all together. So, but to do that, you know, continuously, keep
yeah.
on doing that, mm-hmm. one day when you stop and go, wait a minute.
No.
I did this yesterday. That doesn't...
This is a sick man. I mean, this is a very sick man. He died at 58.
And that's what these people do, then they never do ever get to another level.
Some never do. Honestly,
the thing that's so puzzling about it is that in one way, he seems reflective.
Right.
But in another way, he doesn't have
right.
the capacity to reflect on the external thing.
That,
like he wants to keep it all mm-hmm. in this intellectual
mm-hmm.
way of talking the words and the talk,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't really have the capacity to reflect on his own.
Absolutely. Thing. Absolutely.
And if you don't have that capacity to step back and reflect and see yourself, as James says, up here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So why is the reaction so strong, so anger? You talked about if you confronted someone with these two thoughts, mm-hmm. they get angry.
Uh-huh.
Where is that coming from?
Because
I've seen that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I could give you one simple answer.
It's not just him. That's what I get.
Yeah, no, this is a personality type. And, you know, this is the way nations behave. So, we're not too far from this. I don't think I give you a simple answer. You know, the Freudians would say, well, that's a defense. You don't exactly use that language. I would imagine... You know, one way to look at this is, and this is, I'm not sure totally accurate, but that another way to put this is an inflation. And an inflation is a pseudo orientation meant to lift the person above unbearable pain. So if you... point up the contradictions, you pop the inflation, and what then happens is the pain wants to flood in, and then there's this violent reaction defending against the pain. But this is serious. I mean, he was on his way to his deathbed here. And this is, I mean, I have seen now, in the last couple of years, three people like this, and every one of them terminated in a huff, and they died within a year. It's very serious. This degree of fragmentation is very serious. As Jane said, you know, we all say one thing one day and one thing next, and we're called to account, and you think, oh, shit, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do have that tendency. That's one thing. But to make these gross contradictions where there is no recognition is serious. That is moving towards schizophrenia. This is the tragedy, definitely. And I think that's why these people do die. The way Jung puts it in a rather cold-blooded way, but I'm afraid it's accurate, the self really does feel this man has something to offer. And it says, okay, here's your assignment. And if you don't do it, it says, well, you know, I'm not going to waste my time here anymore. I'm going to give the assignment to somebody else. I'm not even going to worry about you. And that's exactly what happens. And you see that in, you know, I told you about this one guy who actually didn't die, but I mean, it was one of these things where he dreamt of being in a church and everybody had their backs to the altar. Now he's in jail for attempted murder. That where the self is absolutely disregarded, then it comes back with, you know, you are a nuisance on this earth. Let's find somebody that will take my request seriously. For us, that's awful. But for the self, that's its cold-blooded aspect. As those of you who did the dream analysis seminar, remember the alligator in the hut? That's that aspect of the self. I will help you the best I can because you are a valuable person. You have something to offer, and I want to help you offer it. I care about the evolution of the species. But if you don't, go to somebody else. There's another child born every day. And it is absolutely unsentimental about it. So in a way, it's a testament to his potential value, but then the price you pay if you have a potential value and you don't live up to it can be pretty serious.
So how far away from death was
he? He died in 58, so this is 6 years away. And we're going to see it gets worse. We're going to see, we've been watching him, and I think basically, I really fully don't know what went wrong. We can try to speculate. But I think we've seen how the unconscious has tried to build him up. And in the next chapter, we're going to see it starts to fall apart. And he gets into a fight with Jung, which we'll dissect very carefully. And then it slowly peters out. Then he alienates von Franz, and then he alienates Jaffe, and then he dies. Again, I hope you don't get sour on this, because you can look at this as what's wrong with him, or you can look at this what's wrong with our time. And just read the news, it is exactly what's going on. So by studying this guy, we get to know that part of ourselves, and we get to know the dynamic that's operating in our time. And I think it is well worth the effort to see what is fragmentation, how does it work, what does the psyche consider its alternative, and how does it try to communicate that to us. That's why I find it so valuable. And so, in a way, in a funny way, he's given us a great gift, I think. A friend of mine who's interested in science said, you really see, Pauly was a scientist. He did record these dreams, and he has left that legacy as a fact for us to consider. And that's a gift. And he's buried his soul for us. And so I tear into him not to be mean to the man, but to look at the phenomena to say, how can we learn?
It's kind of like Nietzsche.
He's a lot like Nietzsche. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking a little like Job and God all in one, you know. That
yeah. Yes.
He's just that unconscious part of him.
Yeah. You see all that talk, God cannot be conscious, means I don't have to worry that I just said to you, thanks for my soul help. And in a month later, I just say, I think everything you believe in is shit. I don't believe there's such a thing as synchronicity. I don't believe there's such a thing as a cosmic rhythm. Yet we've had how many 30 dreams up to now where that's been hammered home to him?
And he faulted Jung for not including it.
But
I do have one maybe slight support from him, in that psychologically, in the religious kind of atmosphere that we grew up in, especially in his day, that was a pretty stiff challenge to go against the marriage.
Yeah, but for him, he'd already done it.
He'd already done it.
I think the biggest, I don't think he was that hung up. I mean, he was somewhat hung up. I think he was trying to save a marriage. I think the real threat was losing his persona position in science. That's what he was really scared of. He was king. Anywhere he went, you know, red carpet treatment.
Well, let me say, okay, suppose he was, quote, hung up on his religious.
Yeah.
That would have been.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you see people get over that?
Oh, my God, yes. I make half my money from the church, half my money from lousy parents. I make half my money from the church and half my money from lousy parents. Those of you who are doing Dream Analysis Vision Seminar, that's what the woman in there is wrestling with. She is really caught by a moral guilt because she's in a love triangle. But, oh, definitely. It's a very big thing. Well, we got through about 2 pages today. I hope it was...
You know, when you said nations are doing it, I don't mean to be a politician, but if you just look at some of the heads of the nations, I mean, they kind of represent...
No, absolutely. This is the way nations behave towards each other. They're all borderline personalities. I'm serious.
Bush is, you know, yeah.
Don't get me started. I think I had to read, you had you to read 123, that'll stay the same.
Okay.
And we'll meet 10 to 12. Thanks for the change. See you in a couple weeks.